was to prove that death had nothing for his people when we are found in him. Nothing, church. And you know what we do to receive it? What you're doing right now. Lifting your hands and saying, Abba, Father, all that you have, all that you are, fill me to overflowing right now. And just like that, guess what? It's yours. It's yours, church. You don't have to do anything else but receive it. Only believe. Hallelujah. Only believe. Little lightning rods right now. Up in the air. Ready to receive everything heaven has. Everything. Do you know what made this morning special? Open hearts. Open hearts, hungry, not for some religious service. Hungry hearts, ready to receive everything that God had for them this morning. Showing up as His children. That's it. His children. Dad, whatever you have, I need it. And I want it. All of it. And it didn't matter if you were sitting in the front or if you were standing in the back. He was pouring it out liberally, lavishly, overflowing. Everything you have need of is found in Him. Everything you have need of is found in Him. So, Father, we thank You for tonight. We thank You for this, the gathering together of Your saints, of Your children, to receive all that You have need of tonight. We thank You for it, Lord. Everything You have need of, receive it. Receive it from Your Father. We thank You for it, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated if you want. You can run if you want. Welcome online. Welcome online. Shoo. Is he good or what? My God. I just could have stayed right in that place. Right in that place. Like literally just that little moment of while we were worshiping, I so badly wanted to look at the pastors like, can we just keep doing this? Because I just want to keep going. But the Lord was like, no. No. And that's when you remember, you know what? It's not about what I want. It's about what He wants. And what you saw this morning was what He wanted. And when your hearts show up open, my God, He is faithful. So tonight's message is, no shocker, not what I thought it was going to be. I thought I was going in one direction, and He was like, no, you're not. That's good. But see, this was, and I'm starting to understand that I'm a little bit quick to think and assume, oh, that's what this is. Like I hear a word, and I start to, He starts to unpack it for me. I start to dig into Scripture and just spend time praying, and it's like all this stuff starts popping, and I'm like, oh, this is awesome. This is what it is. And He's like, would you just calm down? This is part of it. There is so much more if you would just settle yourself. And I thought to myself, how much time could I save if I would just settle myself? How much time? And it's funny because in Isaiah, I want to say it's 40. Let's go there. I wasn't going to go there, but now we're going there. Isaiah 40, I want to say it is verse 13. And if it's not, I'm going to feel really silly. Yeah, I feel really silly because it's not that one. But it's in my notes, so it's okay. I've got it right here. It's not 13, it's 31. I was only slightly dyslexic. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That word there, wait. That's a funny word for us in English because we hear the word wait and we think stop. And it can be that, but that's not in the Hebrew. That is not the first part of the definition of that word. It actually, if you look it up, and if you don't have Strong's, you can look it up in Dakes, and maybe if you have a Dakes Bible, but it actually says to be bound together by twisting. You're entangled. Those who are entangled with the Lord will renew their strength. When you become so intertwined with who He is and what He has, everything that you need, the strength that you just don't have, no matter how hard you try, all of a sudden you're filled to overflowing. And if you've spent any time with the Lord, you know that He's faithful to do that. You know, just on a, I mean, just a, you can stop yourself just long enough to say, "Dad, I need you. I don't know. I cannot tell you how many times I've prayed this prayer on the way home since I've come to know the Lord. When I get done with work, your mind is just so, it's just spent. You're like, I don't want to anymore. I don't want to think. I'm done thinking. I am done being an adult. I just want to relax." But you can't do that when you have a wife and children to go home to. Or if you're a lady, if you have a husband and children to go home to. You can't do that because your job isn't done yet. The one that you naturally get paid for, yeah, that might be done. But now your spiritual work, it's time to take it up. And there's been many times I've said to the Lord, "Dad, I just need you to give me your strength. Because I want to be the best I can be for my family. I don't want them to come get home." And look, I don't always do this. I wish I could tell you that I was some kind of super Christian who always gets this right. But I don't. But there have been many times where the Holy Spirit has pricked my conscience and been like, "Hey, you're not done. Okay, well, I need your strength." And He's been faithful to fill me up. Because what kind of father would I be if I went to my natural job and then I came home and all my family got was my scraps? Just what was left, the leftovers. And I'm talking about not leftovers like next day leftovers. I'm talking about sitting in the back of the fridge, probably borderline on maybe been in there a little bit too long time to get thrown in the trash leftovers. Like there's just not a whole lot good about them. It'll do. That's not fair to them. No. That's not what God has charged me to do as the leader of my home. I'm to lead and to lead well, to raise my children up in the way that they should go, so that when they're older, they won't depart from it. To love my wife just as Christ loved the church. I don't read anywhere in those scriptures where Jesus came towards the end of the day and was like, "I'm done. You guys just, get away. I got nothing left for you." He didn't get short with people. He didn't get nasty to the disciples, no matter how many boneheaded questions they may have asked. Now, there's times in there where He said, "How long must I suffer with you?" But that was unbelief. That wasn't because Jesus was tired and had enough. There was unbelief that He was speaking to there. But He's faithful to fill me up so that I can be a good father to my family, a good husband to my wife. And what is that doing? He's giving me the ability to reflect to them who He is. That's what it is. Because what kind of father would He be if we went to Him and He was like, "Sorry, I'm tired. I had a situation going on over in Somalia, and you don't even want to know what's really going on in China, and don't get me started on Ethiopia, so sorry, I don't have time for you." He doesn't do that. It's funny, but it's the truth. He doesn't do that. Everything that we see and everything that we don't see is held together by His power. And yet somehow, in His grace and in His love, we can go to Him with anything. He tells us to do that. His word says, "Cast your cares upon Him." Because He cares for you. Yep. I've missed that one with my family. There have been many times I've been like, "Can you just stop?" But that's not Him. So when we come into this place, church, it's a celebration. That's what it is. And I'm not telling you, this is not going to turn into just get yourself together and come in. It's not that. I don't care what you have, bring it in. I don't care how heavy it is. Bring it in, but bring it in with intention to lay it down. Lay it down. And when you lay it down, I'm done. Yeah. Don't lay it down. Lord, it's yours. Look, Miss Kim's already laughing because she knows exactly what I'm getting ready to say. Lord, it's yours. It's too heavy. I can't lift it. I don't want it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let me just pick this back up. And I'm going to walk on back to my seat and carry it with me. That's not what we're supposed to do. He doesn't tell us to do that. If you cast something, if I have a fishing rod in my hand and I cast it, I'm letting that thing go. Not the rod. But I'm casting the lure on the end of the line. You're just letting it rip. You're getting rid of it. Get out of here. That's what he's saying to do with our cares. Yeah. Cast them. Get rid of them. Throw them. He knows that we're not built to carry that. That's why he sent Jesus. But that's always been his heart. From the very beginning, that's been his heart. If you read a little bit later in Isaiah, his goodness and his love, it just blows my mind. And I want to make sure I get this right. So, let's go to I think it's Isaiah 57. It is. Isaiah 57. I think we're going to start in verse 16. We think about the Old Testament and we think about how harsh I think a lot of times God can be. You read the things that happen, but when you put it in the proper context, God is not harsh at all. He gave people opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to repent. Turn to me. He sent Jonah. Jonah tried to run. Jonah was like, I don't even want to do that. I don't like those people. And God was like, I really don't care. Now a fish is going to swallow you because you can't listen. He didn't make a fish swallow Jonah because he didn't like Jonah. He did it because he needed to show Jonah, look, there's nothing I can't and won't do for my people. Yes, the Ninevites were in sin, horrendously. But God did not just want to wipe them off the map without giving them one more last chance. Please. And what happened? Jonah eventually went to Nineveh, and there was a tremendous turnaround in that country. The entire country prayed, fasted, and turned back to God. An entire people were saved because of God's mercy. This is what it says in Isaiah 57, starting in verse 16. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry. For the spirit would fail before me and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness, I was angry and struck him. I hid and was angry, and he went on backsliding in the way of his heart. He's talking about his people. He's talking about the children of Israel right now. How they just kept going the wayward route over and over and over. But check this out. I have seen his ways, and I will smite him. It doesn't say that. What does he say? He says, I have seen his ways, and I will heal him. My God and my King. I will heal him. I will also lead him and restore comforts to him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace. Peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. Church, he's not an angry God. He's not sitting up there waiting to pop you on the head with some holy gavel like he's playing galactic whack-a-mole. That's not what he's doing. He goes through all that. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. So if you refuse to listen to what he has to say, if I refuse everything that he has, he's telling me, I'm going to have no peace. None. But it's not his fault that I have no peace. It's my choosing that I want to do what I want to do, regardless of what I know. Because there's only so long we can go before there's no excuse. Well, I didn't know the gospel. Okay, well, here's the gospel. Here's what Jesus Christ did. Nah, I'm good. Okay. And that's how insanely gracious God is. Because he's not going to force anything down your throat. Like any loving parent, all you can do is take the truth and present it. That's all I can do. I cannot make my children do what is right. I could, but what would they do? They would resent me, right? No, you're going to do this. Now, obviously, there are certain circumstances that do warrant a little bit more of a forceful authority. But in a lot of things, I can't force it on them. Because there is no love in that. No matter how hard I wait, because yes, it might be love that's behind it, but making someone do something, well, at that point, I'm running a dictatorship. And that's not a good thing. And that's not God. If God doesn't force it down my throat, who am I to try to force it down anybody else's? But he takes the truth and he presents it. And he says, here, understand this. The world and everything in it is mine. I made it. I've created it. It's my power that holds it together. And in the great love that I have for you, not only am I holding everything together, not only am I giving you time to realize just how much I love you, but I've already made a way to do away with every wicked work in your life. I've already made a way to take the gap that spans sin to holy, and I've sent someone to stand in it, and it's my son, and his name is Jesus. And the moment we receive that, we're restored to him. That quick. But we have to choose to say, Father, I want that. I want that. Now, the beauty in everything that we see happening right now is this is the heart we talk about. We want to see revival, right? Well, guess what? Revival's here. What you saw this morning, church, that's revival. And you know what it is? It's people saying, I don't want anything that is of this world. I'm tired of the busyness. I'm tired of the anxiety. I'm tired of the stressfulness. I'm tired of being afraid. And I just want God. That's it. I hear everything that you say, Lord, and I want it. And when that happens, revival blossoms in your heart, church. In your heart, you were made to spread revival like wildfire. And that's where it starts, is in that place. Allowing your heart to be open and say, Lord, whatever it is you have, I want it. and not worry about anything else, because the only thing that ever stops revival is distraction. 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 Well, I've been here for 3.5 hours. I don't want to be here anymore. Sure would nice to be home. Doing what? The God of all creation has graced us with His presence. And you want to go watch Netflix? The God of all creation wants to do a mighty work. And not just take you. See, get out of, allow Him to take that box and just blow it up that you stuffed Him into. Revival's not just for you. There is an entire world around us, yes, in little old Sellersville, in little old Millington, in little old Barkley, in little old Templeville, Ingleside, Goltz, Massey. It doesn't matter. All of these people are looking for something that we have. Yes. They just don't know it yet. Yes. So as you gather together, every single time we gather together, I don't care if it's Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, I don't care what it is. Show up and be ready for God to do what only God can do. Amen. And you'll receive it. Amen. It's not just coming to hear Pastor David or Pastor Lacey teach on Wednesday night. It's not just showing up to hear them preach on a Sunday morning. They are wonderful people. I love them dearly. But it's not about them. Amen. They are here because God told them, I need you to go back to where you grew up. This is what He said to Pastor David, and get the Word of God into people. That's what He's doing. He's being obedient to God's plans for His life. To bring freedom to people in this area. Amen. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. He shared them with that man, and he was obedient. You heard Pastor Lacey say, one seed doesn't just, you put that seed in the ground. She plants one flower seed, you don't get one blossom. Boop. One man's faithfulness has changed the trajectory of his entire family. Amen. It is sent out 3 churches, 3 ministers in the last year to take the Word of God that he was obedient to minister and spread it to other people. In Centerville and in Delmarva, in the River Church Delmarva, down in Federalsburg. Amen. And every single one of you are a recipient, myself included, of one man's obedience. Amen. Now, that's not the end of it. You don't come here on Sunday morning to say, Pastor David, we love you. Pastor David, you're great. I mean, you can tell him you love him if you want to. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. We're told to love one another. But that's not the end of it, guys. That's not the end of it, church. That is just the beginning. You heard Evangelist Nick talk about it last week. If you were here, you heard him talk about it. If I am ministering, if Pastor David is ministering, if Pastor Lacey is ministering, we are equipping you to go out there and share it and build the church, to do the work of the ministry. You're ministers. Every single one of you are ministers. Get that in your spirit. Stop saying, well, I'm not good enough. Well, that might be for some people. No, it's not. It's for all of us. Every single one of us. Yeah. I grew up literally, like as the crow flies, about 30 seconds that way. Yeah. On a dairy farm. We got rid of the cows when I was very young. So it was like, hey, you need to go find a job somewhere else. There's no future for you here. Okay. But where is that? It's in the middle of nowhere. Hickman Mill Road is in the middle of nowhere. But somewhere along the line, even before I came to Him, He was working in my life. Amen. Not because I'm more special than any of you, because I promise you I'm not. If there is anybody that is not qualified to stand here, naturally, I can kind of get down with what Paul said, that I am the least. No, I am the chief of sinners. That man was murdering God's people because he thought he was doing the right thing. At least he thought he was doing the right thing. I knew I was doing the wrong thing, and I kept right on running, Jack. Fast as fast can be, you'll never catch me. But he caught me. 544 and 301, 17 years old, a tractor trailer hit me broadside. It was going 75 miles per hour. I pulled out like this. He went like that. Driver's side. The doctors literally said, "We have no idea why you're even alive right now." Had that truck hit 1 foot, 12 inches, further back, you would have been dead on impact. There's no way you would have survived. But somehow or another, I didn't even break a bone, church. 24 stitches to put my scalp back together. And about 3 or 4 months of trying to learn how to walk again. Because I don't know if you know this, those things, they pack a lot of punch. When they hit hard. And it took me a while to get back up on my feet. But God had a woman that he was ready to bring into my life, had 2 children that he knew needed raising, that he had already entrusted to us. I was not doing good things when that happened, church. So there's no excuses. That's why I'm sharing this with you. I am not, don't get it twisted. I don't share any of this to brag. Because believe me, I was not a good person. And if anybody deserved to get smoted, we joke about that in our house. But if anybody deserved to get God's wrath, it was me. But for some reason or another, in His great love, He said no. Because my story isn't about me. My story is about Him. Yes. And what He did in my life to take what was broken and make it whole. To take what was dead and make it alive. Yes. Only He can do that. Amen. And that is the very heart of the Father. Yes. And in that is the very heart of revival. When we get a hold of that and stay in that place, there is no devil in hell that can stop what God wants to do. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has for us to do. That blew my mind last week when Evangelist Nick talked about the gates of hell and talked about how a gate is not an offensive thing. Like, and I don't know how that always flew right past my head, but when he said that, I was like, oh, that's phenomenal. A gate's for defensive measures. Guess what? There is no gate. Because you know what's on the other side of that gate? People. Just like you and me. Who have been trapped and ensnared by every lie of the enemy. And they're in there. And there is no gate in hell that can stop God's church. No gate in hell. The moment we show up, darkness has got to go. Amen. Every work of the enemy, pack sand, get out. Yep. You got to go. Yeah. because I don't come in the name of Joe. I come in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Who gave his life.
Yes.
Now I'm a son of God.
Yes.
And my dad told me that you got to go. Amen. Get out.
Amen.
That's the authority that we have.
That's right.
And that's what he's expecting every single one of us to do. That's why, dare I say it, it must be slightly offensive to our dad when we say, oh, well, not me, I'm not good enough. Well, no, I can't do that. He's literally saying, everything I've provided, I made you in my image.
Yeah, that's right.
Do not tell me that you're not good enough.
Yeah, that's right.
Because not only did I make you good enough when you screwed it up in the garden, I made a way to make everything good enough again. There's no excuses.
Right.
None.
Yeah.
And in this day, it's time to shed off all those lies
that
walk right through the door of every church in this nation and say, go back to hell where you came from, you filthy lies.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You have no part of me, nor I have any part of you.
That's right.
But what I do have is the authority of the name of my Savior, Jesus Christ. I have the authority of my Father in heaven who reigns over everything.
Amen.
That's what He wants us to do. That's what He longs for us to do, is to embrace that.
Yeah.
That truth. So that we, in fact, do what He made us to do, which is set the captives free.
Mm-hmm.
All for His glory. All for His glory. It's crazy when you're standing here and you feel the presence of God and you feel just like literally like he's got his arms around you. And everything that he just spoke to you, I want you to understand that he just spoke all of that. I had literally some scriptures and he said, just trust me. And I said, okay. I was nervous, but I said, okay. And as I'm sharing with you what he's sharing with me, I hear the Holy Spirit just say, I love him. He loves you. So much. Amen. Don't show up to God just because you think it's what you're supposed to do. I want you to think about the deepest relationship you have in your life. And then if you can, imagine what it would be to multiply it by an infinite number. That's the relationship that God wants with you. He's not a step parent. He's not stepdad. He doesn't want you on weekends only. Or every other weekend. He wants you every day.
Amen.
Every single day. He's watching you while you sleep. Not in a creepy way. He's taking care of you.
Amen.
While you're driving down the road.
Okay.
While you're at work doing what you're doing. While you're sitting right here in his house. He's watching you. He's smiling. My children, who could have been anywhere else tonight, chose to gather together and celebrate me because they love me and I love them. Oh, that they would just receive the love that I have for them. Love is the key to revival. The love of the Father poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that was given to us from the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made. Love. And not worldly love, church. I'm talking about agape.
Mm-hmm.
That intentional choosing. Good, bad, or indifferent. I love you. That's what God says to us. Good, bad, or indifferent. I love you. I have seen. Think about that in Isaiah. I have seen his ways. And I will heal him. What? And maybe quiet is awkward for you. But it's not awkward for me, sorry. And like right now, just feeling, like literally, it's just waves. Just washing. And that's what I want for you. Just be still. Be quiet. If a minister's up here, he doesn't have to talk nonstop. Just take in what the Lord has for you. Ask him right now, Dad, what do you have for me? Right now in this place, what do you have for me? My ears are open. My heart is open. You know what I have need of. You know what I desire. I know you have plans for me. Lead me. Show me. Teach me a better way. Put away all the distractions. And let there be only God. I could sit here all night. I could sit here all night in silence. Allow yourself and your heart to become entangled with him. Because it's in these moments that it happens. Be entangled. If this is awkward for you, tell the awkwardness to go. I'm just doing what he says to do. So if it's weird for you, talk to him. Tell him. But give yourself time to put away all distractions. And I believe that right now, as you're sitting there, he's ministering to you. That he's speaking things into your heart that only he can. Things that only you and him know about. If you're burdened, lay it down. If you've got cares piling up, cast them on him. Because he cares for you. Deeper and deeper and deeper is where he wants to take you. And that's the beauty that is our relationship with God. Shallow enough that you'll never drown. Deep enough that you'll never touch bottom. You can never go too deep in God. Never. Thank you, Jesus. If you would like prayer, even still, please come forward. Do not leave without getting what you have need of, but I am believing that God has ministered to you right in your seat. It is not about a hand having to be laid on you or getting a word for someone from someone. The greatest word you will ever get is the word that comes from the mouth of your Heavenly Father directly to your heart. The greatest touch you will ever get will never come from a human. It will come from your Father. And He can touch you right where you're sitting. So receive everything that you have need of. Everything that you have need of. Receive it right now. It's yours for the taking. Just receive. Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for the love that you have poured out in our hearts. A love that you have poured out so that we might share it with everyone that we come into contact with. Just like every seed that is planted, it multiplies. The love that you have poured out into our heart is a seed, and it multiplies. It's not just for us and our refreshing. It's for everyone around us. So, Father, I thank you that that love pours out in a mighty way into our lives, into our families, into our friends, our coworkers, into whoever we come into contact with, Lord. Give us opportunities to share your goodness in the grocery store, at work, at the gas station, no matter where we are. We thank you that you give us opportunities to reach everyone, Lord, because that is your heart. That is your heart. For your people to know you and to love you. We love because we were first loved. And that love came from you. Because you don't just have love, you are love. You are love. And you made us to be the same. So thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you that we are here right now on this earth. For such a time as this, to do what you have for us to do, to walk out the plans that you have for us. Thank you for the honor and the privilege of knowing you and being loved by you. We praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. CJ is going to turn on some worship music. If you want, stay, worship. If you still need prayer, please do not leave without receiving what you have need of. But other than that, we love you. God bless you. We're back into our discipleship classes. Yes. Wednesday night, 6:30. Be here. Yes. If you want to see the services on Sunday come alive, come and break down the word on Wednesday night. And then watch what happens on Sunday morning. Because they all dovetail right into each other, I promise. Amen. We love you guys. CJ's going to turn on some music. Bless you. We love you. Men's group Saturday. Thank you, Pastor Dave. Men's group this Saturday, 7? 7 a.m. at the Farmer's Table in Chestertown. They're opening just for us. That's called favor, in case you didn't know it. See what God said. What won't He do? Amen. We love you guys. God bless you. See you Wednesday night.